Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 47, Empowered and Equipped. Pastor Karen Coulterman delivered this message on November 4th, 2018.
I thought we'd start with Genesis 1 and start to see what the role was that the Holy Spirit had in the creation of the world. You have Father, Son, or Word, who was called the Word until he was born into this earth as a man and was called Jesus. But up until that point, he was the Word or the Son of God. And then you have the Holy Spirit. So Genesis 1 and 2 talk about things before God spoke into creation. And then Genesis 3 we'll look at also, or chapter 1, verse 3 we'll look at too. But verse 1 and 2 say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And I brought a picture and a post board out here just for those visuals. Like Sarah. Yeah, she's teaching me all sorts of things. The earth, before God created, before he put life into it, formless, void, darkness, without anything, nothingness. But God the Father had a vision in his heart. He wanted to create mankind because he wanted to fellowship with mankind. He wanted to spend time just talking, loving on, being with mankind. And so before he created mankind, he decided to make a place for mankind to live. And in his heart, he had a vision for what that would be like. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, was hovering over the earth where God would create that place for mankind to live. When we were in Israel with Pastor Steve and Diane this last time, we were at the Jordan River and people were being baptized. And up above is where you enter in. There's like dressing rooms and souvenir places, of course, and then you go down the steps to the Jordan River, and there are different points that you can go into the river. They've got it all built up, and someone was demonstrating a drone that he had, just a little thing. We didn't realize that at the time. We were down at the Jordan River, but pretty soon I heard this buzzing sound, and I thought, what is that? And then I looked up and there was this drone coming. He was demonstrating what it was to a bunch of people up above, but we didn't know that. And this drone came down and just hovered over us, you know, just about that high up, just hovering right there. We could look at it, you know, and stare at it, and it just hovered. And it was kind of creepy until we went up the stairs and realized he was just demonstrating what this drone could do. Well, the Holy Spirit was hovering over this, studying it, just waiting, just anticipating, expecting. And what was he waiting for? He was waiting for the Word to be spoken from the vision of God's heart for creation. So in verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." The Holy Spirit immediately, when the Word, the second part of the Trinity, the Word spoke, let there be light. The Holy Spirit breathed on that spoken word, and there was light. And this, it goes out throughout Genesis 1, telling about let there be, let there be, let there be, and there was, just like that. Holy Spirit breathed that life into that spoken word, and there was, and creation became. So you've got the difference here between nothingness and how God had a vision for this earth to be, for man to live in. And it was the Holy Spirit's job to bring life to that. And then, when God was finished creating the place for man to live, then in verse 26 of chapter 1, it says, God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And then down at 27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then chapter 2, verses 7, it says, then God, the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living thing or being. And it was again the power of the Holy Spirit breathing that life into man, causing him to come alive. The vision God had for man, the Holy Spirit breathed into him and brought him to. So the first thing that I want to deal with in just a few minutes, from creation, from the way God originally planned it, is that the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, would breathe life into the spoken word from the Father God's heart. Let's look at the second area that God originally intended things to be like. Again, from verses or chapter 1, starting at verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And then verse 28, so God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God's design was that mankind would take dominion over the creation God had just made for him. That mankind would subdue every living thing on earth. He would be in charge of it all. He had the authority. If he doubted something was working right, he would just take dominion over it, make sure that it worked properly. And then the third part of creation that God originally designed it for, in chapter 3, verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now this was after the fall, but this first part of the verse tells about what God planned to do. He planned to fellowship with mankind. He'd walk through the garden, walking through. They recognized his sound. They'd come out and they'd just visit with each other daily, just loving on each other, getting to know one another intimately, just enjoying fellowshipping together. That's what God's desire was. And the Holy Spirit was the one who had breathed life onto that and who helped to communicate between God and man. But we know that didn't come to pass. It was interrupted, let's put it that way, by the enemy. The enemy came in and tempted Adam and Eve, and they fell into sin. And that broke the communication they had with God. It broke the life that the Holy Spirit breathed into them, the excitement, the anticipation of good things happening. It broke the power that God had given them because Satan now took from them that dominion on this earth. But God had already spoken into existence creation. He had already determined what he was going to do. He had already decided the plan he had for man. And so, of course, he had a plan to bring them back, to reconcile them. But that took time. But his plan for mankind never changed. Praise God. And so, because it never changed, the reason that it never changed, rather, is because God doesn't change. God never changes. As we sang the song, God is love. He reaches out to us with his love. And so he had a plan. And we're going to look now how the Holy Spirit worked in those three specific areas. There's so many other areas, but I was focusing on these three areas of fellowshipping, of power, receiving power from the Holy Spirit, him enabling us, and also the breath of life that the Holy Spirit brings to us. So from Genesis 5, right away, it was just several generations after all of this happened, and mankind fell into sin, and that relationship with God was broken. There was challenge to mankind communicating with God, fellowshipping with him. The enemy challenged that every which way he could. But there was a man named Enoch, and he was several generations down the line from Adam. And in chapter 5, verses 21, it says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. Enoch loved to fellowship with God. That was his whole heart's desire. And God enjoyed the fellowship. And so one day God just said, come on home, Enoch. Let's just visit without interruptions. And Enoch was taken out of this earth. That's how important fellowship is to God. And the Holy Spirit is no different. He wants fellowship with us. We can see in the Old Testament many examples of men and women who fellowshipped with God and how important it was. Noah, who built the ark, you know, he was the last remaining family on earth who honored God. God gave him specific instructions about building that ark. The measurements, exactly. Noah wouldn't have recognized the voice of God if he didn't spend time with him before he got those instructions. He would never have built the ark in the first place had he not spent time with God and honored him. The Holy Spirit was the one who put that into Noah, that fellowshiped with Noah, showed him the instructions, drew the animals in. Moses, think of all the times he talked with God, a lot of times about the people. Abraham, David, all of these were able to talk in fellowship with the Father because the Holy Spirit made the communication open. In the New Testament, we have the example of Jesus. Jesus spent time alone with his Father, talking to him, listening to him, communicating. It goes both directions, speaking out and then listening. And so he spent time with the Father. And he knew how important that was. As he did that, he started to do the same with his disciples, the 12 men that followed him. He knew it was important to spend time with them. In John 14:10, it says, he's talking to them, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Jesus was training them. He spent time with the Father because he needed direction and instruction. He needed the Father in him. He needed to be united to the Father. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit that he was able to be united to his Father. When Jesus knew time was coming short, he spent time telling his disciples, getting them ready for when he was going to be crucified, first of all, but then when he would be raised up from the dead, and then when he would return to heaven, where he came from. And he does this so that they're ready. He knows what they're about to go through. Jesus lived in a physical body. It was easy for the disciples to see him. They'd go look for him when they had a question, when they were in doubt of something, when they had need. And now he would be returning to heaven. But we'll go to John 16. Starting at verse 1. All this I have told you. He'd been warning that he was going to die and then be raised up in 3 days. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. And we see that proof in Paul. Before he encountered God on the road to Damascus, he thought he was doing God a favor. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate or the comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. He's the Spirit of truth. When Jesus returned to the Father, it was during Roman rule. There was a lot of untruth going on. A lot of deception, a lot of lies, a lot of evil. Not that dissimilar from how things are in the world today. Jesus was telling his disciples, his followers, you're going to need the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you truth. He's going to lead you in the right way. When you're questioned, when things come up, the Holy Spirit will show you what to say. He will be in you. He'll help you. He'll hear from the Father, and he'll give you the answer directly in your spirit. The greatest desire of the Holy Spirit is to fellowship with us. 1 Corinthians 2 says, verse 8 through 12, chapter 2, verse 8 to 12, says this. It says, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. He reveals to us what the Father has for us through his love for us. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. And that is so, so important. Jesus wanted his disciples to know what God had given them. He spent the 3 years of his ministry walking out the love of God, showing the disciples every day the love of God, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising people from the dead, giving them life, showing them, this is the Father's vision for you. He's in me and I'm in him, but it's for you that I'm doing all of this. And then, of course, he went to the cross and he took their place on the cross. That was the most important part. He took their place, our place on the cross for our sin, the wages that we should have been on the cross for, he took. But he was raised from the dead. And when he was raised from the dead, he gave back everything that belonged to us that the Father wanted us to have, that he preached about beforehand. Well, living when we do, we can see that in the past, but also we have the Holy Spirit who lives in us. When we've given our hearts to the Lord, when we've said, I believe that what you did on that cross was enough. I believe it, Lord. And besides that, I want you to be my Lord. I'm turning the steering wheel over to you. You direct my life. You're Lord in my life. When we do that, the Holy Spirit comes and makes us his dwelling. He lives in us. He has wisdom for us. He knows the heart of God, and he wants to communicate that to us every day, all the time, as we need it. He is the Spirit of truth, and we know that the world we live in today, we need to know the truth, not the world's philosophy, not everything that people who are knowledgeable, educated, spew out of their mouth. We need his wisdom. And as Cheryl said, we need the Word of God, because that truly is wisdom. So the Holy Spirit knows our heart. He knows God's heart. He knows the wisdom God has for us. And he wants to help us to talk to the Father God. Marilyn Hickey says in her book, he will give you another helper. And that's what our women's group were studying the last few months. We finished it now, but I really enjoyed this book. But it talks about, she says, Jesus gave the very best gift he could give you to help you succeed in this life, the Holy Spirit. He is God's gift to us. Remember, Jesus said, I will pray or ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you. According to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is another comforter, Jesus being first. There are two different connotations for the word another. It can mean another thing of the same kind or another of a different kind. Jesus wasn't sending us a different kind of comforter. He was saying, I'm going to send you the same kind of comforter I've had all this time. He was with me when I was building the earth and all the time I was on the earth. The same kind of comforter who brought me through will also bring you through. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives to bring us through just as he brought Jesus through. He'll bring us through everything that we go through. So in addition to comforting us, in addition to communicating with us, an outgrowth from that, from our spending time learning and growing in the Holy Spirit, is receiving the anointing, the power that he has for us. God wants us to be bold. He wants us to take our rightful place, even though we don't live, we're not of this earth any longer. We do live in it. And while we're in it, God wants us to live in his victory. He wants us to know that we do have authority over the enemy, over the principalities, the powers of darkness. We do have authority in the realm that we are responsible for. I have authority in my home. I'm not going to answer the door and let Satan come on in and bring all of his sickness, bring all of his things with him. I have authority over that. We were, you know, we've been rejoicing the day that Sarah got married. The weather was horrible. I mean, the report for the weather was horrible. But I know several people here who took authority over bad weather.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because that was our right. That part belonged to us. God had spoken to Sarah and said, on October 6th, that's the day that you'll be getting married. We knew it was God's will. We knew that that was the day she was to be married. And we knew that the weather wasn't going to interrupt.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's the kind of authority that God wants us to live in every day. He originated that. But Satan stole that from us. But Holy Spirit is here to empower us. We need him because he speaks to us, he communicates, he answers questions, he brings comfort, he advocates for us. He also imparts power to us, boldness to share what's inside of us, what we know God has done for us. We want to share with others. We need boldness from the Holy Spirit to do just that. In the Old Testament, you see examples of that again. David, when he was a shepherd boy, he killed a bear. He kept the mouth of the lion, I think, open while he took his lamb out of it. And because of that, he had that boldness in him. He knew when he went to the front of the army and Goliath was intimidating all the Israelites, including King Saul. David knew the power that God the Father had. He knew worshiping God. He knew honoring God was greater than that giant. And so he said, I'll slay Goliath for you. And the king said, you're just a boy. And then he explained, but the power of God is on me to do this through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't live in people then. He did come down. He walked alongside them. He anointed them for certain tasks and abilities. He gave Gideon power. Gideon was hiding, you know, out doing his work. And an angel from God came to Gideon and said, oh, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon's looking over his shoulder like saying, where? But God empowered him through the Holy Spirit to go into battle with only 300 men and to conquer. So, Acts 1:8. says, and this is Jesus telling his disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In the New Testament, that's what happened. We know that Jesus was anointed when he was baptized, water baptized, the Holy Spirit descended on him as a dove. From that point on, he went into his ministry, led by and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Again, I want to read something from Marilyn Hickey's book. The Holy Spirit sets divine power in motion through the anointing. Upon those who receive his anointing, his presence comes with dynamic authority, ability, and power. From the moment the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism in the Jordan, he was anointed with power that had no limitations. John 3:34 says, "For the one Jesus whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit." He's giving us the Holy Spirit without limit. The only one who can limit the Holy Spirit is us ourselves. When we completely surrender to the Holy Spirit, he pours into us. He enables us. He gives us the power to stand firm. He gives us the authority we need over the enemy every single time as we surrender to the Holy Spirit. And I really think, you know, when you're talking in terms of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives and overflowing, it's us just totally surrendering to him. We surrender to the Father. We surrender to the Son and what he did. Why not totally surrender to the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity? Amen. So, getting my notes organized. The third part of God's vision for us at creation has to do with the breath of the Holy Spirit, breathing life into God the Father's plans. In Isaiah 55, verse 11, it says this, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." God has a plan for each one of us. As the word of God is spoken forth, the Holy Spirit brings life to that spoken word. In 2 Kings chapter 4, it gives the account of the Shunammite woman. And I won't have you go there, but she was a wealthy woman, she and her husband. And Elisha, the prophet, would speak to crowds in the area. And she was receiving blessing from Elisha. So she decided that her husband should make an extra room for him so that when he came into the area, he could go up to that room and rest or stay overnight or whatever and be refreshed and then go out and minister some more. So her husband built that extra room. And Elisha was so grateful for it, he wanted to bring blessing into her life. And when he asked her, "What do you need?" she basically said, "Nothing. I have everything I need." And he turned to Gehazi, then his servant, and he said, What doesn't she have?" And he said, "She doesn't have a son." And so Elisha called her in and told her, "This time next year, you will have a son." And she was flabbergasted, basically. And he spoke that word forth from the Father's heart. And the Holy Spirit brought it to pass. He breathed life onto that. And the next year, she had her son. She had taken that word seriously. And years later, when her son got sick and died, she didn't accept that. She went to where Elisha was and had him come. And when he saw, she never spoke it out of her mouth, the death. She simply had him come, and he went into the room where her son lay dead, laid on top of him, mouth to mouth, eyeball to eyeball, and hands on the son's hands, and breathed life into him, the breath of life from the Holy Spirit. Because when Elisha spoke the word that she would have a son the next year, that's what she was receiving. I have a son and I'm not losing him. Death can't steal him. And the power of God, the life of the Holy Spirit breathing on that word, is what brought that son back to life. In, you know, you see times when the Holy Spirit breathed life into the leaders of armies, Joshua, of different armies, and even marriages. When Ruth was working in the field, he breathed life into that relationship between she and Boaz, so that Boaz's heart softened toward her. And he breathed life into the king's heart when Esther was married to him, because, you know, the enemy was coming to try and kill all the Jews in that area. God's chosen people needed to progress in God's plan so that the Son of God could come. So every time the enemy challenged them, God's spoken word, his vision for how it should be, the Holy Spirit intervened and breathed life into different situations. God has plans and purposes for you and I also. Jesus came. The Word was made flesh. How did Jesus come into this earth? Luke 1:35 says this. It's here somewhere. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." The Holy Spirit overshadowed her. The Holy Spirit spoke life. The plan of God, Jesus, born into this earth to bring redemption. The Holy Spirit was the one who breathed that life into Mary, and she became impregnated with Jesus. And God's plan was carried out. And again, when Jesus died for us, after 3 days, he was raised from the dead. The Holy Spirit breathed that breath of life into his body, and he was raised up from the dead. So the Holy Spirit is so very important. He's the third person in the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, no less valuable than our Father and our Savior, the Holy Spirit. So I want us to get to know him. I want us to love him. I want us to receive from him. And today we're going to look at the second part of what I've been talking about, the power, being empowered by him. So we're going to break up into groups and come back in about 10 minutes, and I will bring it to an end. Praise God.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.